The Kremlin accuses the U.S. of pressuring other countries to remove Russia from the Group of 20 forum of major economies. Can Washington and its Western allies bar President Vladimir Putin from attending the summit this year in Indonesia? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Derina Bugeda. The G20 is a major international platform made up of 19 large economies from the developed and developing world and the European Union. So the bloc's members represent 85% of global output, 75% of international trade, and two-thirds of the world's population. While economic and financial policy has dominated annual summits, the agenda was expanded to include climate change and the pandemic last year. And China says the G20 is a forum to discuss economic issues, rejecting suggestions Russia could be barred because of its invasion of Ukraine. So who controls the G20 and what lies ahead for the bloc? We'll have our panel in just a moment. But first, this report by Sarah Khairat.
The United States and its Western allies are exploring whether Russia can be barred from the G20 summit in Indonesia later this year.
We believe that it cannot be business as usual for Russia in international institutions and in the international community.
Russia's ambassador to Indonesia says President Vladimir Putin intends to travel to Bali for the summit.
Actually, it's a forum aimed at improving or economic situation and solving economic mostly problems, and of course expulsion of Russia from this kind of forum will not help this economic problems to be resolved.
The Group of 20 was formed in 1999, bringing together the world's largest industrialized and developing economies to discuss economic and financial stability. Members from the Global South include Argentina and Brazil, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, India and Indonesia. China has defended Moscow, saying the bloc should be focusing on global economic recovery from the pandemic.
The G20 is the main forum for international economic cooperation, bringing together the world's major economies. Russia is an important member, and no member has the right to expel another country.
Australia's Prime Minister says allowing Vladimir Putin to sit with other world leaders at the summit would be a step too far.
We've been making very clear statements and representations about our very strong concerns about the involvement of Russia in the G20 this year. We want the Indonesian G20 to be a great success. We want it to focus particularly on the challenges of our region. So I think we need to have people in the room that aren't invading other countries.
The G20 summit was seen as a way for Indonesian President Joko Widodo to raise his country's profile on the international stage, and its officials maintain the bloc is an economic and development forum. But it now has to navigate the threat of a Western boycott if President Putin decides to attend. Sarah Khairat for Inside Story.
Let's now bring in our guest joining us from Chicago, Elizabeth Shackelford. She's a senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. She's also a former U.S. diplomat from Moscow. Daniel Bochkov, he's a fellow at the Russian International Affairs Council. And from Jakarta, we have with us Thomas Notu Suoneto, who's a foreign policy analyst and also the host of Foreign Policy Talks podcast. He's now involved in Business 20 Indonesia. That's the business engagement group for the G20 summit. Welcome to you all. Thanks so much for speaking to us on Inside Story. Daniel Bochkov in Moscow, over to you first. So obviously there's some division over whether Russia should be barred from this year's G20 summit to be held in Indonesia. How is Russia viewing this?
Well, absolutely right. Today, there is ongoing debate in the world about whether Russia should really participate in the summit or it's better to be banned from it. And actually, I think that we have just only one example of Russia being expelled from very similar kind of organization which used to be G8 or Grade 8. And actually, it's not really an organization in its official meaning. It's just the gathering of different countries which share the same ideas about economy and global governance.
Right. And actually, in this case, how is Russia viewing its possible barring?
No. Yes, absolutely impossible. And Russia said the same when it was excluded from G8 in 2014. And it repeats actually the same narrative currently, saying that G20 is not an official organization with membership status. So the membership tickets are not handed over to any country. And so Russia cannot be officially banned from this event. And by the way, China yesterday expressed the same opinion, saying that as soon as the G20 summit is just a kind of forum with countries which participate on their own will, they cannot be...
Yes, they did. We'll talk about China in just a moment, but let me bring in Thomas Notos Sonueto from Jakarta. So does this put Indonesia in a tough spot? Because it is the host of this year's G20 summit, as we've been saying. On the one hand, it's been very cautious about how to respond to the invasion of Ukraine. On the other hand, this is a very significant event for the president himself, is it not? Where he wants to use this opportunity to raise the country's profile.
Yes. But first of all, this is another unexpected situation, right? So Indonesia as a president, which in many ways has disrupted the vision of G20 to bring transformation and change to the forum. It has known of its, sluggish response to the pandemic, of its power gap, of its, unactionable outcomes that given by G20. But again, this Ukraine-Russia crisis has put Indonesia in a very difficult position. The response from the government is now just plain neutral. They said that G20 is not a political forum, it's an economic development forum, and we want to play this as a consistent position of G20. But of course, we cannot underestimate the response that coming from outside, from external parties about Russia's presence.
It's not only that, though, is it, Thomas? Because Indonesia itself has deep economic and military ties with Russia, so there's a lot at stake for Indonesia itself.
That's true. But again, as a president of G20, Indonesia should not be acting as to defend Indonesia's foreign policy itself, but also to defend the future of G20, to bring trust again towards multilateralism.
All right. Elizabeth, thanks so much for your time with us from Chicago. Weigh in on this debate. I mean, as Thomas was just saying, we've not heard from Indonesia's foreign ministry yet on the decision that they are going to take. I mean, do you see Indonesia disinviting Russia from this year's meetings? How is this going to play out?
Well, I do think that Indonesia has been put in a very difficult position because whether or not they retain that invitation to Russia or take it back, this conflict is going to weigh heavily over the G20 and pretty much every multilateral gathering over the coming weeks and months and possibly even longer. But I think it's very unfortunate to try and continue to maintain that line that somehow economic issues are not connected to political issues. They certainly are. I mean, they're deeply connected. And, we like the idea and we've kind of played around over the past, number of years with this sense of this multinational, national global environment where, we can freely trade. But if other actors aren't playing by the general rules that allow us to have, certainty and predictability and open trade, then, you simply can't ignore that and just kind of pretend like this war isn't happening and this aggression isn't happening. So I think it's going to be a big decision for Indonesia. And then if Indonesia decides to, maintain that invitation to Russia, it's going to be the decision by others whether or not they're going to try and make a collective action to prevent that or just decide not to participate.
Hang on a second. So you don't agree with those who say, look, G20 is primarily an economic forum. So, they question whether it's appropriate to bring in a political crisis into this framework.
It is primarily an economic forum, but you cannot, in this interconnected globalized world, separate the two. Economics and politics are related. And, if you have questions about that, just ask China. They use their economic prowess around the world all the time to achieve political gains. Just ask Australia or Lithuania. So I don't think that it's fair to pretend like in some scenarios you can use that economic weight and in others you have to act as though it's completely separate from this type of crisis.
Okay, got it. Thomas, how likely is Russia's ejection given that there is no clear process for expelling a country from the group?
Yes, I think the government of Indonesia is trying to push this rejection away, right? And of course, demand that the peace negotiation has happened between Ukraine and Russia. It's still November. I know it's still a couple of months, but we are still very careful, as the government of Indonesia, of seeing the progress and the process of the peace talk or any ceasefire agreement between both parties. But somehow I agree that some impacts of Ukraine-Russia war is inevitable, right? We can talk about food security, sustainable financing, for instance, Russian development infrastructure funding that has been banned or under sanction. Of course, it will impact many countries, including G20 member states. But we want this to be immediately solved as soon as possible, so it would not bother the vision and the goals of G20 itself in November.
Right, and just one more for you before I bring in Daniel from Moscow. Without Russia's presence, then it will be difficult to address these economic problems, will it not be?
Yes, the main theme of G20 is recover together, recover stronger, and we definitely highlight the inclusiveness and togetherness to support economic growth at the post-pandemic time. So without Russia, it's definitely, you know, it's hindered the potential of the inclusive economic growth. I understand the political crisis will give a different story, but that's definitely something that we don't want to see in G20, 2020 by Indonesia.
All right. Daniel, you were mentioning this a moment ago, and you were talking to us about China's position. Of course, it hasn't condemned the invasion of Ukraine. It's also criticized Western sanctions and defended Moscow as an ally. It's called Russia an important member of the G20 as well. Now, the chances of one of the G20 members, like China, vetoing Russia is pretty high, isn't it?
Well, actually, yes, absolutely. I think that, of course, the majority of the G20 members, they are comprised of the countries which are currently not extremely favoring what's going on between Russia and Ukraine, of course. But still, I think that if we, again, recall the example of G8, so in order to expel Russia, there should be a unanimous decision by all the members, like it happened when G7 countries vetoed Russian participation. And Russia, back at 2014, Russia was not expelled as it is. It was not just invited to the other meetings. And so Russia had no other choice but just to withdraw its kind of goodwill participation in such kind of summits. And so it's not likely to happen now, because at least we have China, which has already expressed its absolute disagreement with the idea of vetoing Russia participation. And we also have some other states. And I think that here we can follow what's going to happen, for example, from the side of India, from the side of Brazil, or, for example, from the side of South Africa. Because as far as we know, for example, India and South Africa did not vote in favor of the recent UN General Assembly resolution criticizing Russian events in Ukraine. And so they abstained. And I think that if we speak about upcoming G20 event, we could also closely monitor how BRICS countries are going to react. Because as far as we know, China has already sided with Russia on G20 issue. And so what's going to happen with India, South Africa and Brazil, it's still the matter of time, and we'll see. But even with China being against the idea of excluding Russia, I think that this initiative is not going to be materialized in this particular sense.
Okay, Elizabeth, go ahead.
I mean, I'd just like to say this is not the UN Security Council. Neither China nor Russia has a veto here. It's not, there's nothing laid out, as we've heard, that indicates exactly how a country can be booted from the G20. This is a matter of invitation. And if you've got, at my count, you've got at least half of the G20 countries that I believe are going to strongly oppose Russia's participation in the summit. The invitation is going to come from the current G20 president, which is Indonesia. So it's going to be very easy for Indonesia to make that determination. But at the same time, we're not talking about a situation where there's something laid out in the regulations here where the G20 has to unanimously decide on anything that they do. This is, it's not an organization that works that way. And so you don't have to get China on board if at least half of the G20 countries oppose it. And even if the decision is to move forward and allow Russia to come, then the boycott by a large percentage of the countries of the G20 is going to call into question what this organization is really good for.
Which brings me to my next question to you, in fact, Elizabeth. I mean, how likely is it that other leaders will not come if the Russian president shows up?
I mean, I would find it very hard to believe that, you know, this is months away, so we're not really sure what the situation specifically will be. But if we're in a similar situation to what we are in now, I find it hard to believe that the United States, European countries, and other countries that have expressed condemnation of this invasion would find it easy enough to look the other way and act as though it's business as usual with Russia. At this stage, many countries in the world are using all of the messaging, all of the tools that they have to try and press for a resolution to this war and for Russia to take back its aggressive stance. But going about and acting as though business is normal, particularly when you have massive sanctions, even if this is an economic forum, you simply can't act as though there are other global crises that Russia can be a positive player in at this time. So I think it's going to be highly unlikely to see everyone at that table.
What do you think the U.S. will do in particular? And is this something, I mean, we see the President Biden right now in Brussels, obviously meeting with NATO. Is this something that he's going to be pushing for during his meetings this week to suspend Russia or expel Russia?
I mean, I don't think that's going to be the number one priority, because there are more urgent issues at the fore right now. But I do believe it's going to be a matter of discussion. And of course, with Putin making the announcement about the intention to join the G20 summit, that has put it on the table and in the news. But I imagine it's going to be a discussion of the many different ways that the alliances against Russia's actions in Ukraine can make their position known and make it harder for Russia to continue to act as though things are normal. The G20 is one of many multilateral institutions that functions based on, you know, international norms generally being respected. That's how our global economy works. So if you have one country in that set that is flagrantly violating those norms and those rules, you cannot go to another forum that's related to that same global situation, to that same international world that we all function in, and just pretend like the violations in one part of that scenario aren't going to affect every other one. And I believe they're going to be talking about that today, and they're going to be talking about every forum in which this issue can be raised.
Daniel, do you agree with what Elizabeth has to say?
Yeah, actually, I would like to make one comment to the Elizabeth's opinion about G20 being not an organization. Of course, it's not an organization, but what I meant is that it's not going to be in the way of voting that half of the members of organization vote against participation of Russia, and so that's it. That's how it works. I think that in order to absolutely ban Russia out, Indonesia can only, for example, suspend issuing visas to the diplomats of Russia and the participants of Russian delegation. But I don't see any other possible way to prevent Russia from going to this event, even though the countries, all of the half of the G20 members say that, no, we're against Russia. But it's not going to be a voting. It's not going to be in this manner. And that's why, actually, today we also could see a lot of reports saying that Indonesia has come under some pressure from the Western countries, saying that it should think again about whether Russia should be invited or not. But Russian side has expressed its willingness to come to the event, and Russian president has been said that he was going to participate, at least for today. We don't know how the situation is going to change. And so just to ban Russia from the participation in this forum, I think the only possible way is just to prevent the delegation physically coming to Indonesia. And I don't see any other possible way.
Daniel, we also hear, however, let me put this to you, we also hear that there are reports that World Trade Organization officials are reportedly refusing to meet with Russian delegations as well. So to what extent do you think is Russia's status at other multilateral agencies also being questioned? And does Russia care?
Yeah, absolutely. And here I actually agree with Elizabeth saying about the boycott which could happen if Russia comes to G20. And it could be really a point here that if a lot of members of the G20 decide not to come, just not to share the same platform with Russia. So, of course, the impact of this forum is going to be less significant. And the same happens with other organizations. Yes, WTO has also expressed its idea to ban Russia in some future time. But I think that it's going to have a lot of implications on world economy and world trade, because although Russian economy is not that extensive as economists point out, still Russia is the major player on the energy market. And as we have recently noticed, the market fluctuations on the prices of oil and gas have their own way, and they could influence the energy security of the European Union. And so in this case, I think Russian participation is really important for all the countries. And
for the last few minutes of the show, let me bring in Thomas here and look at the broader picture when it comes to the G20, Thomas, because there are reports that the Polish government is the one who suggested to the U.S. government that Russia should be replaced within the G20. And it's been a long-standing goal of Poland to eventually join the G20. Is it now seeing an opportunity to achieve that goal? And is it time for the membership of the G20 to change?
Right. There are some growing debates that we should add more countries to join G20, given to many countries that have expanded their economic capacities, have advanced their economic growth, and so on and so forth. But the problem now is, if we talk about Ukraine and Russia, that, you know, the concerns are not coming from the high level of government or presidents or prime minister of Western countries. But so far, what I heard from the other engagement group and working groups that we have under the umbrella of G20, many businesses, many other parties and stakeholders are not demanded to also excluded Russia in the negotiation, in the discussion of G20. This is a big problem. Again, we cannot underestimate this, right? And I think, you know, having other member states are not solving the problem whether we should include Russia or not. But again, also in other ways, exposing Russia from G20 will not also help solving the economic problems that we have. So that's why I understand that the government of Indonesia, as the president of G20, is trying to be carefully thinking about the best solutions through this crisis.
Can Indonesia, Thomas, actually use its leadership to resolve the problems?
Yes. Indonesia is a political capital, not only by its free and active foreign policy. So what I suggest to the government, to the foreign ministry, is that we should extend all of the political capitals that we have and then trying to solve this. Of course, the political problem is number one, but I agree with everybody, especially the economists, that the economic impacts are now inevitable to this G20 member state. So that's why we should thinking hard and also trying hard to solve this immediately.
Elizabeth, a final word to you on the issue of the G20. I mean, not to single out Poland, but there are countries, other countries as well, such as Nigeria and Thailand, who reportedly all have higher GDPs than current G20 members. So is it time that the G20 opens up its membership or reforms and starts to include other countries? What's your take on this?
I certainly think that those things should be under consideration and discussion at this time. In addition to the idea of, you know, should it be based strictly on economic size, or should there be other factors in, such as, are you a good player in this, integrated economic international system that we have? But yes, I mean, Russia, particularly after this set of sanctions, is no longer really at that size and level. So I believe that we should be careful about just rapidly expanding size and reaction to the situation, because you have it's an economic body that does have an important kind of diplomatic role in negotiating these issues. But they should certainly consider the fact of which other countries might play a more positive and affirmative role in this body. And if there are countries that are creating the types of economic issues out there, such as Russia with its aggressive war in Ukraine right now, then we should consider whether or not they're the types of countries that are helping us resolve these problems or causing them.
All right. On that note, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Elizabeth Shackelford, Daniel Bochkov, and Thomas Notu Suenetu. Thank you so much. Thanks for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJ Inside Story. You can join the conversation on Twitter as well. Our handle is AJ Inside Story. For myself and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching, and bye-bye for now.